all constantly providing a stream of information and stimulation. Among these, TV is the worst because it offers endless entertainment, full of sensationalism and violence. To help your child learn and grow naturally, consider getting rid of your TVs and reducing the impact of adult information. In 2005, neurologists found that children from 0 to 2 years old need to interact with people and their environment and play problem-solving games like peekaboo to develop their brains properly. Watching TV does not offer these benefits, so young children who watch TV get no developmental advantage. In 1999, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommended that no child under 2 should watch TV and that older children should watch only a limited amount. Therefore, it makes sense to reduce the number of screens in your home. While you can't eliminate screens, you can manage their presence in your private space. You don't need to get rid of all your screens, but setting some limits will improve your family's happiness and well-being. Childcare and parenting. Parents often worry about balancing childcare and work responsibilities without feeling judged. Some fear that relying on childcare might harm their children's development, but research from the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development shows that part-time childcare doesn't affect emotional well-being negatively. It's the amount of time that matters most. Excessive childcare can lead to challenges like more tantrums, but seeking help when needed doesn't make parents neglectful. Today, parents spend more time with their children compared to past decades, regardless of whether they work or stay at home. Quality time spent with children matters more than quantity. Working mothers, for example, engage only slightly less in social activities with their kids compared to stay-at-home moms. Both types of mothers cherish the moments they have with their children, showing that the quality of interaction is what truly counts. Benefits of both partners working. Many men dream of coming home to find their wife in a sexy outfit, serving a homemade meal. However, research shows that couples where both partners work outside the home tend to be happier and more connected. After having children, couples often grow apart if one partner stays home and the other works. They lead separate lives and lose common ground. But when both share responsibilities, like sharing chores and both working, couples feel more attracted to each other. A 2006 survey found that husbands who help more with household chores have better sex lives. Similarly, wives who work more outside the home tend to have more sex with their husbands. Sharing both household chores and earning income can also strengthen marriages. Research shows that couples who split these duties equally reduce their risk of divorce significantly compared to those in more traditional roles. Moreover, having two incomes brings financial stability and flexibility. Relying on one income can create pressure, but dual incomes allow both partners to pursue careers they enjoy. Financial independence and health. For many women, the idea of staying at home with a good book while their husband goes to work might sound like a dream. But before you decide that being a stay-at-home mom is the best option, here are a few things to think about. First, women who work are independent. Stay-at-home moms reported that their husbands set budgets and controlled their spending. Working for your own money means you can make choices about your needs and desires that your husband might not understand. More importantly, earning your own money is the only way to achieve financial independence. This is especially crucial for widows, as a 2004 study from the Boston Center for Retirement Research found that women's living standards drop by 50% after their husband's death. In addition to being financially secure, working women are often healthier both physically and psychologically. A 50-year UK study showed that stay-at-home moms were the most likely to have poor physical health. On the other hand, women who balanced being a wife, mother, and worker enjoyed the best health. Moreover, a 1989 study found that focusing only on home duties could increase psychological issues like depression by 30%. It seems that women who share family responsibilities are better off, especially when they work outside the home. Yet, there are still myths that keep women from advancing in their careers. Let's look at three of those myths. Myth number one. Mothers face unfair doubts at work. If you're expecting or just had a baby, you might have heard discouraging remarks like, "Say goodbye to your career ambitions." Sadly, there's a widespread lack of confidence in mothers when it comes to work. A Princeton study in 2004 highlighted this bias. People tend to see mothers as nice but less competent than their male counterparts. In an experiment, characters named Kate and Dan, both described as new parents working from home, were rated by students. Despite identical profiles except for gender, Kate was rated as the least competent, while Dan was highly rated. One reason could be that there's an assumption that mothers will want to work less after having children. This belief leads to mothers being given less responsibility, lower status, and even lower pay. Instead of challenging these assumptions, many mothers leave their jobs in search of better opportunities. But by doing so, they never address the underlying issue, allowing the myth to persist. They can stand up for themselves before making drastic career changes. For instance, a political science professor didn't receive parental leave after her first child. When she researched her university's policies, she discovered she was entitled to it. So, when she became pregnant again, she not only requested leave for her current pregnancy, but also retroactively for her first child. Her assertiveness paid off, and she got all the leave she deserved. Myth number two, to be successful, you have to work nonstop. Imagine you need emergency surgery, and a top surgeon is available, but she's been working for 16 hours straight. Would you trust her to operate on you? Probably not, and you'd be right. Overworking can be dangerous. Research shows that people who work too many hours make more mistakes and can be unsafe. For example, truck drivers and nuclear plant workers who work more than 6 to 8 hours in a shift make more errors. Hospital interns working 30-hour shifts are 6 times more likely to make mistakes and misdiagnose patients compared to those with shorter shifts. It's not just safer for workers to avoid overworking, it's also better for businesses. Best Buy faced high employee turnover due to harsh work hours. To fix this, they let employees set their schedules, which cut turnover and increased productivity. Moms can challenge the myth that only people who work nonstop are valuable. For example, one woman at a security firm convinced her boss to let her work part-time for 4 days a week. She promised to achieve as much as she did before and proved that she could outperform her full-time colleagues. Myth number three, women and men are treated equally in the workplace. Sometimes we wonder why, in traditional couples, she does most of the cooking and he takes her housework for granted. Unfortunately, sexism and gender stereotypes still exist in the workplace. Inequality at work is real, but there has been some progress. Many companies are still male-dominated, and hiring managers often prefer candidates who are similar to themselves, usually other men. For a woman to be hired, she often needs to be not just as competent, but better than a male candidate. For example, the University of Michigan noticed that despite many female PhD candidates, few were getting faculty jobs. To fix this, they trained their hiring panels and showed that women had to be superior to men to be hired. As a result, the number of women in faculty positions rose from 14% to 30%. The good news is that hiring more women can lead to long-term change. Once there are enough women in influential positions, the system can start to correct itself. However, some inequality is also due to women not standing up for themselves. For example, at the U.S. Open since 2006, players can challenge an umpire's decision a few times per match, and about 30% of these challenges are successful. But women challenge decisions only half as often as men do. Modern relationships. In the 1950s, couples often followed a routine. The husband came home to a meal prepared by his wife, and they spent evenings together. Today, things are different. Many husbands arrive home late, too tired to engage with their partners. This isn't what most couples want. Michael Elliott, author of Men Want Change Too, aimed for an equal partnership with his wife. But after their children were born, she reduced her career to part-time work for childcare. This meant Elliot had to work more for financial reasons. To avoid these pitfalls, couples need to plan and stay flexible. Take Sharon and Steve, who sought counseling. Steve believed women were naturally better caregivers, while Sharon wanted equality. Through counseling, they learned that natural assumptions aren't always best. They agreed to split responsibilities equally, even if one earned more. Thinking ahead as Sharon and Steve did can prevent traditional roles from harming a relationship. It makes living equally much easier and keeps relationships strong. Maternity support. In the past, wealthy women quickly handed their babies to nannies to resume social life. Today, new moms still need help but often lack support, especially with maternity leave not guaranteed in the U.S. Without paid leave, many feel forced to quit. Progress is happening. California started paid leave in 2004, covering 55% of wages for 6 weeks after childbirth. It's a step in recognizing women in the workforce need this support. Expecting mothers should plan. Male bosses may not understand motherhood concerns, so clarity is key. Inform them directly about your plans and rights regarding maternity leave. By showing your commitment to return to work, you ensure your job remains secure and valued. Encourage fathers in parenting. Getting to a 50-50 balance means actively encouraging fathers. Don't be like those overprotective moms who criticize their husbands even when they're just trying to help. If you fail to encourage the father, you might push him away from spending time with your children. You can support your husband by recognizing different ways to care for your kids. It might bother you if he uses a different hold to comfort the baby or wastes wipes changing a diaper, but remember that criticizing him can lower his motivation. Also, your way of doing things isn't the only or the best. A study from the 1960s showed that fathers are just as good at caregiving as mothers. For example, babies drank the same amount of milk when fathers held the bottle as when mothers did, and fathers were just as capable of figuring out how to calm a crying baby. Men also have a role in supporting mothers. For instance, they should be kinder when mothers return to work. Maternity leave helps keep women in the workforce, but showing empathy and patience when a mother comes back makes the transition easier. Women said that the first few months of balancing a job and a baby are the hardest, but a supportive boss makes it much smoother. Key points. 1. Quality time with children matters more than the quantity spent. 2. Both parents working can strengthen marital bonds and increase happiness. 3. Overworking can harm productivity and safety, contradicting the myth of nonstop work. 4. Workplace biases against mothers persist despite their competence. 5. Financial independence and better health often result from women balancing work and home life. 6. Encouraging paternal involvement benefits children and relationships. 7. Maternity support and planning are crucial for women navigating work and family life.